presented on the final recorded subdivision plan. At the previous meeting that we attended, when the public hearing was suggested, I incorrectly stated that I did not believe that the sidewalks were proposed, or a sidewalk was proposed, in the preliminary plan. When I went back to the series of plans, I discovered that the original preliminary plan that was drawn did not represent any sidewalk. However, between the time of the technical advisory committee and the submission, that we did propose sidewalks, in fact, on both sides of the road. Changes that occurred from that time, we also proposed a joint clubhouse between the Anthem Project and Holland Mills. That later got changed. And we also proposed streets that would have curb and gutter. From the preliminary approval until the final approval, the plans that were submitted for final approval, the curb and gutter was eliminated, and a different, and you'll have to excuse me, but my understanding of the engineering will not be sufficient. Therefore, we have Mr. Davidson from Pannoni with us to address those technical issues. But basically, all of the other projects that we had done for residential subdivisions had what is referred to as a super elevated road profile. So there's a high section where a sidewalk would be, and a low section where the swale would be. So in the normal subdivisions that we had done previously, with one swale, there was room to provide the sidewalk within the 50-foot right-of-way. In this particular design that was incorporated into the final plans, there was a crowned road with the fall going on either side of the roadway with two swales. And at the time, I did not realize until sometime later, which I will address, but there's not room to put the sidewalk because of the contours of the swale. Therefore, on the one side where the sidewalk was proposed, it was actually within the lot line itself. As you may recall, our original submission in 2005 was for a cluster subdivision, and as you well know, cluster subdivisions have to provide a superior design. The finding of fact for the approval in item number 2 of the approval that stated that for the record and for these various reasons that the cluster development was found to be of superior design relative to a standard subdivision due to the 24.06 acres for the Holland Mills and 26.36 acres for Anthem, with the protection of the forested areas on the site. So from the developer's point of view, we come in and we propose to you a plan that has certain elements. As you well know, we have to meet the superior design, and in this case, that was deemed to, in item number 2, to occur based upon the extreme amount of open space, and as well as protected forested areas. It also stated in condition number 5 that the subdivision will include amenities such as the following: walking paths, community center, and a swimming pool. So from the conversion of the approval to the final plan, which is, you know, your requirements in there, the caveat is that planning and zoning must approve the final plan, and obviously you have to get all the commencement approvals. If you look at conditions 1 through 11 on both approvals of Holland Mills and Anthem, sidewalks were not required at that time, and I guess as we currently are operating, there's no particular sidewalk ordinance that is present. The plans that you have before you show a walking path structure that does not reflect the actual physical representation of the transformers in the location. So I respectfully request that we would just submit for the record and also hand out for your review the plans that actually reflect what is properly there. The plans that are submitted there, but for where the connection points for the walking paths are and those particular commensurate lot lines were in error.
We'd give those to our attorney and he'll distribute them for us.
Thank you.
What Mr. Davis is handing me, it looks like there's smaller ledger size copies of the big part.
So the progression of the project from 2005, the sidewalk was shown on one side of the road and the curb and gutter was eliminated. The joint clubhouse was eliminated. So as the question was presented to me at the previous hearing was, were sidewalks proffered? The answer is yes, they were. The issue, again, before us as the developer is, what are the absolute requirements that we must meet, number one, for a cluster, which that was demonstrated because of the open space, and what are the absolute requirements that must be provided for the final site plan? The difficulty that we encountered was, and I believe this was in the time frame of late 2008 and 2009, was when we physically reviewed the location of the sidewalk, we realized that in some cases the sidewalk within the lot line was inside of 20 feet from the front door, the front of the house, and also would bisect the driveway at a very significant distance, because you have I think 15 feet of the right of way, plus you have the distance where the fall has to be accommodated for the ADA for the sidewalk, placing the sidewalk vastly houseward, if that's a word, towards the house of the street. So normally when we do a project, the obligation to install a sidewalk is placed upon the builder. Okay, that's the way we do it with Ryan Homes and other nationals. Whether other developers do it that way, I don't know, but that has typically been ours. So in the conversations with Capstone Homes, and we have Mr. Daly here also to address some issues later if that's agreeable to the commission. In the conversations that we had with the builder, Capstone Homes, we said, Normally, this would be your obligation, but there's a practical difficulty here in building these, and we're not going to construct these, and we don't want you to represent that we're going to construct the sidewalks to the buyers. Now, there was the consideration of walking paths, which we knew we had to meet the walking path standards. At the original time, which was back, 2008, 2009, it's my recollection that we were anticipating the mulched type of walking paths. To be frank with you, the responsibility for not doing that, for coming back to you when we recognized that we were not going to do the sidewalk, was my obligation. It's not an excuse, but at that time the market was sliding, and I can fully admit that I was not paying attention and did not come back to the commission when we should have, which was my fault, and I'll take responsibility for that. When we did present this to the homeowners, we also asserted to them that we needed to come back and ask for approval, as we have today, that we were going to, instead of doing the mulched paths, we were going to do a hard surface path. And at some progression along the line, and I don't know when that was, at some progression along the line, we ended up deciding and subsequently building the paths with an improved surface being blacktop surface. If this is acceptable to the commission, we would like for Scott Daly of Capstone Homes to address the particular details of the representations of not having the sidewalk to the particular buyers. Thank you.
Okay.
Good evening, ladies, gentlemen. I'm Scott Daly. I'm the managing partner of Capstone Homes. Do I have to say my address? 33275 Harbor Reach, Lewis, Delaware. I've been involved in, not directly, but as the managing partner of Capstone with the sale of the houses. All the houses in the community were built by Capstone Homes. There are probably some folks that are here that didn't buy from us because there's been some resales, but we've been building in there since, I think we settled the first house in July of 2009. Again, to concur with what Mr. Dyer said, we were told of the sidewalks and told they were going to be removed, and that's more or less what we represented. I would like to respectfully request that this document be entered into the record, and all this is kind of a smattering. Should I give it to you and explain it?
Give it to our counsel, and he'll distribute it to us after he's had a chance to look at it.
There's a few more than are necessary. And what you're getting is simply a sampling of the site plans. Part of Capstone process is to have a pre-construction meeting, which is you sit down with the site superintendent and the salesperson and the homeowner and review what's going to be built in the house, both in the house and out of the house. What I did is just pulled from 10 of the files of homes that were built in 2012, 2010, 2011, 2013. These are all lots that I believe are on the side that would be impacted if there was a sidewalk that was built in Holland Mills. Nothing fancy except to show that the sidewalk was not represented as a part of this site plan. It's my also understanding, and again, I'm not the developer, but we also build in a community called Bay Landing, which is up off of Reynolds Road, which had the same situation where it was swales on both sides, and there was a sidewalk that was going to be in the lot, and that sidewalk was removed, although my understanding is that it was removed before we sold and settled houses. I know that there was a sidewalk, and we were supposed to build it, and then we were told we didn't have to build it.
Can I ask you a question, Mr. Chairman, before I forget it?
Sure.
Go ahead. Was that sidewalk removed with the permission of the county, or did you just arbitrarily decide not to put in the sidewalk?
No, we were told by the developer that the county had removed the sidewalk requirement.
Okay. Thank you.
That's all I have, gentlemen.
Okay. Thank you.
Based upon the facts that have been submitted, we had one additional factor, and that was another project called Springtown Farms that we came before the commission. It was the exact situation of the dual swales with the sidewalk in the lot. And as I mentioned to you earlier, the the first time that this occurred was with Holland Mills. And I don't really understand from an engineering point of view. I do know that my recollection, and Mr. Davidson, if you had questions on that, but my recollection was that the county engineering department was not favorable towards the super elevated in the future. And at what point that occurred, I really don't know. But I would suppose that was what precipitated going from super elevated to a crown with two swales, thereby forcing the sidewalk into the lot. Based upon I know the commission granted approval for removal of the sidewalk for Springtown Farms. I am told that, and I don't have personal knowledge, but I'm told that likewise that that's what occurred at Bay Landing. And based upon, again, the practical difficulty of constructing the sidewalk, and then the difficulty of the physical appearance of that, we have currently before you the difficulty that we created by not coming in here earlier. And again, I take responsibility for that. There's extreme hardship, obviously, if the lots that are currently built that have landscaping, that have irrigation, many different features that would be impacted by this sidewalk. Our desire was to provide the blacktop walking paths within the community, which also will be in the successive phases, which are the drawings that Mr. Davidson submitted to you, that would likewise be blacktopped. The developer, as when we looked at this, we felt that an improved surface for those walking paths would be a decent and a fair exchange, because the sidewalks, which to the best of my knowledge, were not represented, were included on the final plan. And as I said before, we should have come in at a timely event at that point. And in 2008 and 2009, I was focused very much on the banks and obviously not on sidewalks. Therefore, we respectfully request that the commission would grant the request for the removal of the sidewalks.
All right, sir, we thank you. Let's see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Burton.
Okay, so these plans that we're looking at, they're not appropriate anymore. This, what we just got
The only difference is where the path themselves connect and the actual physical representation of those particular lots where the connection points are. That's the only difference is where these...
Where the blacktop sidewalk is.
Where the path actually connects. That's the only change. And the particular lot lines that are related there to those lots, that was the only difference.
The original plan with the mulch or whatever you were going to do had the walking path in the exact same place that the blacktop is now.
I'd have to ask Mr. Davidson that question because I honestly don't know.
Good evening, Mark Davidson with Pannoni Associates. They are almost identical in the same spot that they were proposed as far as the in phase one right now. The original plan that was submitted showed walking paths within the open space around the stormwater pond. It's a wet pond that's in the middle of the largest, it's in the middle of the subdivision. And then additional walking paths were shown throughout within the other open spaces of the site. So they're not identically to where they were shown in the final site plan, but they were within the open spaces.
Were any of the... spots that the walking path was proposed or is placed, did it change any of the lot lines currently?
No.
So the changes really occurred in the open space?
That's correct.
Okay. And so let's talk about superior design. So this is a cluster.
That's correct.
And the idea of the superior design, what makes this a superior design?
The amount of open space, the preservation of the existing grid line that was along the creek here. Again, it was the amenity package that was proposed that included the clubhouse, the pool, and the walking paths.
And we are still planning that this clubhouse will serve this one and the one across the street?
Yeah. No, the there will be two amenity packages, one for Anthem for a clubhouse and clubhouse facility over there, and a separate one for the one that's currently constructed is only for Holland Mills, not for Anthem.
Okay. This plan that Mr. Daly shows, are you trying to say that the sidewalks would then encroach onto the lot lines? Is that?
That's correct.
And that they would be shown. If they were intended to be built, they would have been shown to the buyer. If the sidewalks had been intended to be part of their lot, then they would have been shown on there. Obviously, there's a driveway on there. That was intended and in fact, does exist. But the purpose of that is to show that it wasn't represented, that there was going to be a sidewalk. So that just proves that if there were a sidewalk based upon the final plans, the final subdivision plan, it would be located on the lot. If it were going to be constructed and located on the lot, it would have been shown on that particular plan.
So it cannot be designed in the current street without being in the lot.
That is correct.
What is the width of those streets?
20 feet. The blacktop, the actual pavement?
Yes.
20 feet.
20 feet. Is that a normal?
Yes. That's the cross section for Sussex County. Then.
And when you recognize this mistake, tell me how you handled that with the homeowners and what was their reaction?
When we discovered, are you talking about before there was a sales or after the home was constructed?
After the home was constructed.
When we finally came to the recognition that we should eliminate it from the final plan, we've had two, maybe three meetings that we met with the homeowners and we said, we're going to have to apply to the county to remove the sidewalks from the final plan. And then through that, we went through the progression of mulch to some hard surface to blacktop. And I don't know exactly the progression when precisely that occurred, but I believe that the first meeting was in the neighborhood of 3 years ago. That's how long I think that that's been going on.
Okay, and then, but under no engineering work can the sidewalks go in without encroaching on a lot line.
That is correct. Due to the
keeping within the street.
With the cross slopes that are, you know, with the swales on both sides and the slope and the depth of the swale, you would exceed the minimum required for a cross slope of a sidewalk that would meet ADA requirements.
Okay. I have no further questions at this time. Thank you.
All right, sir. Mr. Johnson?
What other items that might have been proffered back in the meeting of September 22, did you all decide not to put in?
Curb and gutter.
Curb and gutter.
And joint clubhouse.
And joint clubhouse.
Yes.
What about the setbacks from the creek and cutting down trees? And
no, that's...
Because I'm looking at the minutes of the September 22nd meeting, because unfortunately, I wasn't there, and unfortunately, I think Mr. Smith and Mr. Wheatley were the only two on the commission, present commission, that were there. While I was on the commission, I'm one of my trips, I guess. But anyhow, I try and control my irritation, but I get irritated when we have a public hearing and we have developers such as yourself come in and promise us the world, and then you arbitrarily decide to take it out after we've approved a subdivision. Now, I can tell you from my perspective, when I'm looking at a project, whether it's a subdivision, conditional use, or whatever, I rely upon what's presented to me. And if it's presented to me that you're going to have 2.7 miles of sidewalks on both sides of the street, I count on that.
I understand
that. So it apparently what I'm going to have to do now is, instead of my motions being 3 pages, they're going to have to be 5 or 6, because I'm going to have to put in every single point, apparently, because now it's changed from, this is what you've proffered. So since you proffered, you can arbitrarily remove it. And that's very disturbing to me as a commissioner who's been here for 10 years or whatever to hear this. It's bad enough that we're having this progression of developers coming in and wanting to remove amenities offer projects we already approved, because as you well know, a lot of that stuff is proffered because, you know, that's what we want to hear and see in a project. That back then in 2005, when we were talking about the superior design of projects, we included sidewalks in cluster developments. Now, why did we do that? Well, sidewalks are supposed to be a means of safe pedestrian travel within a subdivision when it's cluster and the houses are right on top of each other. Well, in your project, we have a 20-foot wide road, no sidewalks, and big swales. So if someone's out walking their dog, are they going to have to leap into the ditch to avoid being struck?
I mean, ladies and gentlemen, that was a rhetorical question, not intended for you to answer. You'll get a chance to speak here in a few minutes.
Now, I've been through your subdivision a number of times since this first came to our attention, or you brought it to our attention, that, oops, we didn't put sidewalks in, but we built 136 homes. I can tell you the first time I went out and looked at the project, I was shocked, and I told you that back then, that, you know, here I was expecting a couple houses, you know, and things happened, but that thing was, what, half built at the time? we're talking about two separate subdivisions tonight. Yes, we combined them. So just let me say that how I react about one subdivision is going to be different, could very well be different from another. Because I know a lot of the homeowners here did a very nice job of landscaping their yards because they thought that was all their land.
Right.
And maybe it is, and maybe it's not. Maybe it's still in the right-of-way. I don't know. But I'm too aggravated to ask any more questions. I made my comments.
May I respond to one point? I completely understand what you're saying, and from an absolute, and I know you're going to not particularly want to hear this, but from an absolute technical point of view, the conditions of a subdivision are those by which we're bound. So when you approve, as the commission approves a subdivision, there's an enumerated list of conditions which absolutely must be adhered to. Sidewalks was not one of those. So my defense, do I understand and I agree with what you're saying? Yes, I do. My defense is, from an absolute technical point of view, the conditions rule. And, you know, I completely understand what you're saying, and it's well received. But I, from the letter of the law, the conditions supersede.
I just have one comment, Mr. Chairman. I'll try and leave it alone.
All right.
Because that just set me off. Because basically what you're telling me is we don't have to accept you for your word. If you say you're going to do certain things or you're proffering to do certain things, unless we enumerate it, you may not even do it. You're telling me I'm not supposed to accept your word.
I'm saying that I am bound by those things that we propose. And it says very clearly, these are proposed. It's a preliminary plan. It's not a final plan. It's proposed. And the reality from my perspective is we are endeavoring to meet a standard of superior design. Nowhere have I ever read where superior design includes a sidewalk. Now, it may, but I'm not aware. If it exists, I don't know of it. So in the enumeration of the conditions for the record of the approval, and the findings of fact were that we met the superior design because of the open space and the protection of the forested areas. So many times things are proposed, like I said, in this case, we're ending up building two clubhouses. Well, which is cheaper, build one or build two? Well, we decided to build one on this property and have it utilized solely by the Holland Mills subdivision. So in fact, that is something that we incurred more cost, but decided that was a better alternative.
Can I ask a question?
Okay. Yes, sir.
When Holland Mills was approved, based on what you're saying, was it a condition of the approval with the finding of facts that sidewalks were required?
Was it
a condition of approval that sidewalks were required at the time you received preliminary approval?
Not that I'm aware of. Not in the finding of fact that I read.
How about on Anthem?
Not that I read on that one either.
Okay, so when you came back with your final site plan approval, was that not when the sidewalks were included in the site plan?
It was.
Thank you. What he's saying is that when we went through the public hearing, we granted preliminary approval, the condition did not include a reference to sidewalks being required. What happened when they came back with their final plans, they had incorporated. So when you granted final, sidewalks were shown. It wasn't proffered in the public hearing process. It was basically depicted or proffered in the final site plan review.
No, it was proffered. It was proffered in the presentation at.
But it wasn't a conditional approval.
That's correct.
Okay.
But because I misspoke, I wanted to make sure I misspoke and said that it wasn't proffered and it was.
I want to get that correct.
No, it was proffered.
Let me complicate matters even further. By pointing out that this and all of these other situations that we've been in lately are due in part to the fact that we don't have a sidewalk ordinance. Our ordinance does not address sidewalks. So it's a very difficult and murky area we're in here, because somehow, somewhere, sidewalks magically showed up on this job, and nobody seems to know how that happened. but somewhere along the way, they got in. They were shown, but then they weren't in the conditions. So what kind of conclusion do we draw from that? Were they not, just because something is proffered doesn't necessarily mean that it's accepted. It could have been that the commission didn't have a position on the sidewalks, and that's why it wasn't in the wasn't in there. That it was not a factor for them. But there isn't anything wrong with any of this that having a sidewalk ordinance will not solve. And I think that the county bears some responsibility in all of these situations we've been confronted with lately. That is the end of my editorial comments. And we'll move to Mr. Smith here. I think it's your turn.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Dyer, Mr. Davidson. And just following up on what Mr. Lank said, it was in the applicant's exhibit book, minutes from November 9, 2005, page 2 for Holland Mills, and then minutes November 9, 2005, page 4, dealing with Anthem. The condition of preliminary approval 5 says subdivision will include amenities such as the following. And I'm thinking the such as could be a thing of semantics, meaning to include but necessarily not limited to, or whatever, sort of an IE. It does say walking past community center and a swimming pool. It does not, you're correct, say sidewalk specifically, but it does say such as, which could be extrapolated to that there were more amenities and these were the ones such as. Mr. Chairman, I heard your comments, Mr. Burton's, Mr. Johnson's, and I think part of the purpose of having the public hearing, I'd like to yield my time at this point and listen to the public speed things along.
Good idea. Mr. Ross.
I am interested in what the people that own homes in this subdivision have to say, and so I won't be very long, but just for clarity, your team, whoever it is, submitted the final site plan that was approved, right?
That is
correct.
And
that did include sidewalks.
Yes, it did.
So this, you know, I agree with the chairman's view on needing a sidewalk ordinance, but, you know, this was submitted to the county for final site plan approval with sidewalks.
And then somebody
magically figured out that engineering was going to be a problem, but despite that, homes were still sold using, as a sample, I presume everybody did one of these, initial signs showing no sidewalks on the individual lots.
Right.
Even though they were on the final site plan. So I guess one question is, was there a copy of the final site plan as approved by the commission in your sales office on display?
There's an illustrated plan that was colored, and the indication from, again, that I can't represent, but what Mr. Daly said, is that the people who purchased were told that there was not going to be a sidewalk. So, now, and let me, if I may, just end by saying, I admitted to the commission responsibility for not, it was on the plan. I admit culpability for not coming back and having it removed. And the aggravation, I apologize for you having to go through this at this point.
I think, Mr. Dyer, the aggravation is going to end up being yours, and the mistake's going to end up costing you. But I can't say that definitively, but just from my perspective. And I've been very lenient about these changes, even though I agree with Mr. Johnson and with the chair that, you know, once something's proffered and we've approved the final site plan with that proffering, it should mean something, you know?
I understand.
Now, when you get to the point where no lots have been conveyed and somebody wants to change their mind, well, my opinion has been no harm, no foul. That's been how I voted. But when you've conveyed lots and this final site plan has been recorded, then that's a commitment beyond just a commitment to the county and to yourself in building a development. That's a commitment to those people you conveyed those lots to.
Sure.
So you have to somehow satisfy them. Now, if every one of these people here that have bought lots come up and say, you know what, we agree with Mr. Dyer, we don't want the sidewalks, well, then you might be saved by God. No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. All right, then. Ms. Cornwell?
No questions.
Okay. Mr. Lank?
No question.
Counselor?
Yeah, I've got a couple things to say on this, just to sort of bring everybody up to speed on a lot of different issues that come up. First, just to correct what the ordinance says, the original cluster development ordinance didn't have any real guidelines on what superiority was or what it meant. I think that's how this one went through. The commission and the council recognized that that was an issue. You know, superiority being one thing to one person and another thing to another person. So there were specific criteria that were created and proposed as an ordinance to define more clearly what superiority would be. When that made it through to county council at the time did not want to make those a definite requirement for everybody that wanted to go the cluster ordinance route. So what they did is they said you could go the old cluster ordinance route where you more or less define what superiority is, or if you meet these criteria, we will expedite your application. So if you chose to expedite it, one of the criteria, in fact, was sidewalks shall be required on at least one side of each street subject to planning and zoning commission approval. I just point that out for informational sake, sort of after the fact and not applicable to the subdivision, there was an idea that sidewalks equaled superiority if you chose to get expedited. Of course, the irony is now everybody's expedited, so it really doesn't make
sense. It doesn't matter. Right.
So that's the first point. The second point is with regard to whether the plan was shown to anybody. It really doesn't matter if it was shown to anybody. It was recorded. It had to be within 60 days of approval or else it gets voided. So it's recorded downstairs in the recorded deeds. So legally, people be on notice of it. But to expand upon what Mr. Wheatley stated, I think, and this has less to do with this application, but this issue in general. And you're not going to like what I'm going to say, but first of all, it does require an ordinance. Second of all, I don't think sidewalks should have anything to do with the Planning and Zoning Commission. And here's why. Because county engineering, and I'm not saying on this application, I'm saying going forward, county engineering deals with the size of streets, the width of the pavement. They establish the road guidelines, whether it's curb and gutter, whether it's rolled curb, swales, slopes, you name it. When something comes through the Planning and Zoning Commission, the applicant doesn't necessarily know what the street design guidelines are going to be at the time that the project's developed, frankly, any more than any of us sitting here are. You know, it would be just like us trying to design something that the fire marshal wants, you know, or dealt out on an entrance. I just point that out because it sort of brings us all together that we need an ordinance and we just need to get it into the street design requirements so it's uniform and get it out of planning and zoning completely, because we're going to just keep having these problems as design elements change and specifically requirements change. So anyway, that's just my point.
I think it's a great idea because that's really where it belongs, because it's more integral to the street than it is to anything else. So let them do it. But nobody's done it to this point. So we end up, you know, and all of these people end up.
Well, I think that's part of the problem is that what happens is it gets engineered at the preliminary stage when nobody's designed a street. Excuse me. And then it goes to county engineering, and they're looking at what their cross sections look like, and that isn't compatible with what engineering says, what's been designed, what swales are, with a condition we put on it that really nobody knows if any of that's going to work at the time it's put on it.
Well, that happens prior to final site plan. I mean, that's the reason for the preliminary process.
Well, it can. It can also happen at the time of construction, depending on how long a final site plan has been around with the extensions and things. I mean, there's a lot of, I guess my overall point, there's all kinds of moving parts here. It's not as simple as it first seems. It's really a complicated issue that needs to be dealt with on a broader scale.
Agreed. All right, sir, thank you. Gentlemen, if you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anybody here with an interest in your application. First of all, let me say we appreciate your patience this evening. You've been quite well behaved,
You've waited a long time. We will stay here until midnight. If every one of you wants to come up and speak, we'll be happy. Now, I don't know if there's a for or against to this issue. I guess there sort of is. I guess if you're for a sidewalk, but don't be too concerned about whether you're for or against. If you'd like to speak, we'd like to have you. And yes, sir, you're the first one with your hand in the air, so come on up. Give us your name and address, and you may have the floor.
Hey, give this to your attorney here to distribute some of this information.
Please.
Sure. Mr. Robertson? Yeah, thanks.
My name is Dale Miller. I live at 19240 Dutton Lane, formerly Lot 95 of Holland Mills. What you're getting out is a package of information to kind of recap where we've gone and the mess that we find ourselves in. I think there's a lot of people have a lot of confusion over this, depending on when they purchased a home and what their expectations were. I want to say on the outset that confusion has been exacerbated by the revisions to the plans that Mr. Dyer talked about and that Scott talked about. In particular, whether or not sidewalks were part and parcel of the purchase of homes on that property. To the best of my knowledge, of the 70 or so COOs that have currently been issued by your commission, none of them show plot plans that would include sidewalks on, adjacent to, or otherwise anywhere near their properties. Mine, and I think the examples that Scott provided show that. That being the case, I know that there is also artist renderings that depict sidewalks on both sides of the sidewalk, along with elaborately tree-lined streets and other amenities that have yet to be realized. The development, as you know, was approved sometime back in the 2007 timeframe for 136 lots, approximately a quarter acre in each, including the retention pond, water management swales, walking trails, sidewalks on half the lots. This has been a real bone of contention in researching this a little bit further, and I don't have copies of all of it, but I would reference the final drawing, which is your Holland Mills single-family cover sheet plan, dated final revision, I think was dated back in September. Let me just get the date out here. For the record, that sheet 115-28 through 38, last revision, June 21st, 2007. Adding to the confusion, item 34, all sidewalks located on internal subdivision streets shall be located within a 6-foot wide easement starting at the right-of-way line. The developer shall be responsible for all sidewalk maintenance until such time as the homeowners association is established, at which time maintenance shall be the responsibility of the homeowners association. Again, that doesn't reflect on the property details that were provided owners, but I know there are owners who feel that they were promised one thing and given nothing. Back when we joined in the neighborhood, my understanding was that Walker Road had requested and been denied in 2014 the ability to take the sidewalks out of the final plan. That was presented and discussed at an HOA meeting with the then current tenants, numbering probably 30 or 40, June 25th, 2014, presided over by Jeff Bowers, who's present today. A petition was circulated after much discussion, active discussion, I should say, with the majority of the homeowners either completely confused or in favor of not having sidewalks because of the conditions of that I'll talk about in a moment. The condition is further confused because the developer has said all along that due to the swale and engineering considerations that were mentioned earlier, the sidewalks would need to be installed within the swale itself and the homeowner's front property. That is to say, somewhere between 15 and 18 feet off the road and roughly 15 or 18 feet from one's front door, dissecting most yards virtually in half. That also includes dissecting of driveways, which causes another problem. As I mentioned, the page in the document referenced sidewalks located in the subdivision would be within 6 feet. So there's been a lot of angst discussion, in other words, neighborhood angst over where the sidewalks would be, and hence whether or not people are in favor or not. So one of the key questions I think we all need to know is, if we have to have them, where the heck do they have to be? In terms of the objections, which seem to be representative of most of the people who have been there for anywhere from 6 years to more recently, it comes as a bit of a surprise that 70-some certificates of occupancy, or COOs, have been issued without complying with this requirement, which kind of begs the question of, you know, who's in charge of making sure that all the amenities and other utility requirements that are required have been met. That not being the case, we now have faced the problem of having to incur a disruption of landscaping, all kinds of issues surrounding the maintenance, snow removal, and other obligations which will pass on to the homeowner or to the homeowner indirectly through the HOA. Again, depending on the location of the sidewalks, we will also incur significant loss of off-street parking, because the sidewalk presumably cannot be obstructed by vehicles, which means that 4-car parking lots will become 2-car parking lots, and 2-car parking lots will probably become 1-car parking lots. That adds additional stress to an already narrow street, which I'm not sure if 20 feet is the average size of current developments, but it makes for rather interesting driving when you have parking on both sides and a trash truck decides to come by. Not to mention emergency vehicles response and so on and so forth. As I said, many of us are concerned about the off-street parking, which is particularly problematic this time of year, as more and more residents, some of whom are seasonal, have extended visitors and guests during that time period, which goes essentially from now until early October. Another problem is that the plan that was proposed suggests that only one side of the streets will be affected with the installation of sidewalks, which means if the intent was to provide safety, now children and others trying to get to the sidewalk have to cross already crowded streets to get to the other side to avoid being killed in the meantime. As the engineering people have brought out, the topography of some of these, and I'm sure some of you have visited the sites, is anywhere from fairly flat to extremely sloped, so that those people may exhibit even deeper inroads into their property, virtually allowing us to give out donuts at the front door. They have attempted to accommodate us by providing the hard surface pedestrian walking trails, which have improved mobility throughout the area. I question whether that's going to be a long-term solution, since within a year they've already started to degrade, but that being the case, it still represents an improvement in terms of accessing the development. The covenants of most of our properties dictate that you have at least 2 parking spaces per lot. Some of the lots have a single driveway and a single garage. I question how that's going to be possible with a sidewalk that dissects that in the middle. There's a lot of concern over the aesthetic appearance. We live in a rural area. We chose that because of the pond, the natural design, and I think having sidewalks so far away from where they're normally positioned is not a selling point that will probably long-term not be positive in terms of our real estate values. And I think from what we can tell, the majority of homeowners, in spite of the fact that some may feel they were promised these amenities, realize that 9 years into the process is a little late to be digging up their yards, their ornamentation, and everything else. As an example of the parking situation, I took some pictures prior to the January meeting, and you can see on a typical day, this was a rainy day in January, it's not uncommon to see 3 or 4 cars parked in each driveway as people either entertain guests or have multiple car families and so on. And again, I think this is going to be a real issue particularly for those single driveways that will no longer be able to accommodate more than one car. In terms of potential alternatives, they have proposed increasing the walking trails, which, by the way, there were additional walking trails between the Carpenter Farm on the south side of the original lot that were no longer in the plan that have since been eliminated, and I have yet to really understand what's going on in phase three, but obviously that has improved the pedestrian access, and frankly, people have gotten used to walking in the streets. It does present a dilemma, both from the safety point of view and from the legal point of view, but I think that the majority of people at this point feel that it's a little late in the game to be going through the expense and potential hazards that are represented by putting the sidewalks in under the current plan. I appreciate your time and thank you for your attention.
Mr. Mills, you're in
lot 95
in Holland Mills.
Yes, right? Yes, okay. Sir.
What I'd like to do, just so we can, because we have to vote on these separately, so just so we can cut down on the confusion, I would like to continue with Holland Mills people first, and then if you don't mind, those of you who are in Anthem.
The other one hasn't been built.
That's right. There's nobody here from Anthem. Oh, I'm sorry. It's been a long day.
Yeah.
That's right. Sorry about that. There's nothing in Anthem, of course. Okay. We're just here. Okay, great.
Thank you.
Okay, who's next? Yes, sir, in the black shirt. Come on up. That full head of white hair that I'm really jealous of.
It was black before I moved in Holland Mills. Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Robert Hart. I live in Holland Mills on Walking Run 27413. The reason I'm here to speak tonight, I'm a repurchase. I bought the house just almost 2 years ago.
Right.
One of the reasons that I wanted to speak tonight was sidewalks are the main issue. If you go and look at your plan, which is in your file right now, which is dated October of 2008, it shows on the plan where the structures are for the lots. It does not show where the elevations for the houses are going to be. It doesn't show the elevation of the driveways. But it does show that the property and the development is supposed to have a 50-foot right-of-way. Our developer here tonight spoke and said that he knew about a 50-foot right-of-way. But his designer turned around and said, well, we think the street averages about 20 feet. Now, I wasn't born yesterday. Something that says 50 feet on a plan.
Mr. Hart, let me just...
I am hard of hearing, so my voice will go up. I'm not making a speech either.
I believe the testimony was that the paving is 20 feet wide.
Correct. On your plan, it shows a 50-foot right-of-way with 30-foot street, 10-foot right-of-way on the left and a 10-foot right-of-way on the right. That adds up to 50 feet. Now, where I was born, right-of-way means that people other than me have the right-of-way to that property. I'm responsible to pay property taxes on that right-of-way. Some towns the right-of-way is 8 feet, some towns it's 10 feet, some towns it's 12 feet. But I'm responsible for maintaining that right-of-way, which means that the utility companies, the city, can come in at a later date if they choose and put in a sidewalk. If they choose to come in and put a curb in, if they choose to come in and put a sewer line in that right-of-way, that's what that right-of-way is there for. It's there for utilities. It's there for the city, the county, the state to use that right-of-way. We have a right-of-way right now that is for nothing. There are sewers in the street. We think the water is in the street. No one knows where the gas lines are. No one knows where the electric is. It's not in the right-of-way. You gentlemen have driven through the development. I submit to you and you drive through the development, where do you see the cable boxes? They're not in the right-of-way. When you drive through, do you see the electric boxes in the right-of-way? They're not even close. The electrical boxes are sitting inside the property owner's property. They're not installed on footings. We just recently had someone in the development have their house lose electricity. Excuse me, one half of their electricity. Because it's not on a footing. And the 110 line snapped.
Mr. Hart, I have to
now back to the sidewalks.
Sir, excuse me.
Go ahead.
I have to ask you a question, and it's a matter of record. You're testifying to some engineering issues. Are you an engineer, electrical engineer, or structural engineer, or
no?
You know,
no.
Okay.
So my point in my testimony.
It's your opinion that in regarding the footings. I'm not arguing with you. It's a technical point that will come up later if I don't ask you. Okay.
But where I was going, gentlemen, okay, is you're in the middle of a conundrum about sidewalks. One map shows that you have sidewalks. One map shows that the road is supposed to be 30 feet. The right-of-way is here. This is supposed to be there. That's supposed to be here. Nobody knows, including the developer, what he said. You fellas are having a problem right now between what is there. My reason to speak is we can't get the sidewalks put in. It's an engineering nightmare. It'll ruin every property in the development. Okay? I would like to have sidewalks in my development. We have little kids that need the sidewalks, but it's impossible to put in. The only reason I'm speaking tonight is, please do not let this situation between the right-of-way and sidewalks continue in the future, where other homeowners don't have to go through what we've had to go through. I beg you to end it on all the preceding properties. Put the sidewalks in so people are safe. Put the right-of-way in where people will be safe and they know where their utilities are. And have them follow the plans that you approve. Don't find out 3-4 years later that they're not doing anything that they said on their plans they were going to do. Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Yes, ma'am, all the way in the back. That's you. Yes.
Thank you. My name is Gertrude Schmidt. Mm-hmm. I'm at lot 53 in Holland Mills.
Okay.
We bought our home there in 2009, transferred from North Jersey. And I just want to say that I agree with Mr. Miller, who was the first speaker here this evening. I'm here about the sidewalks. It's all about the sidewalks.
It's really all we're here about tonight is
good.
The sidewalks, but go ahead.
Okay, yeah. And I'm against the sidewalks.
So you're okay with no sidewalks?
I'm perfectly fine with no sidewalks.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, ma'am, right in the front in the white. Come on up.
Yeah, we will.
Good evening, gentlemen and ma'am. My name is Adeline Hart. I also live at 27413 Walking Run.
Okay.
For your perusal today, I brought the original pamphlet that was handed out when Capstone and the developer was trying to sell homes.
It also says
on here you would get sidewalks. Okay. This is where the sidewalks are supposed to be, and this is what they presented to us at the HOA meeting last year. Now, again, we have not been there 2 years. This was brought to my attention at the last meeting. I did not sign it because I didn't know what in the Lord they were talking about.
Okay.
Now, most importantly, this going forward. Whatever your decision is regarding these sidewalks, I would like to make sure that all of us here in Holland Mills are grandfathered into this agreement so that if your ordinances change in years to come, we in this entire development of Holland Mills are not subject to these changes or laws. That is, if you decide no sidewalks now, then going forward, if county laws change, we do not have to put them in. And if sidewalks are decided, then those of us on the other side who were told in the plans that don't get them will never have to put them in either, as the site plans do not call for that. A couple of important points. Is there an incentive from the county to the builder or developer if the sidewalks are installed? Does the builder or developer get a break on impact fees if the sidewalks don't go in? Will there, of course, be an increase in our taxes if the sidewalks are put in? That's an improvement. and our HOA fees will probably go up too for support of all that. If sidewalks are planned to be installed within that swale or over it and the front property line, does this decrease our property value? Because now we've got this crazy thing developed. More importantly, where was the inspector after the first home was built who didn't look at the setbacks and where the swales were going to be and where the sidewalks are supposed to be? Even after the first few homes were built and for over 6 years plus, where were these same inspectors? I feel an investigation is in order. Don't they have to answer to someone when they come to do their inspections? Who is it that did these inspections? And what do they have to say about what they were doing instead of inspecting? Who was it that was enriched in whatever way because of this lack of an inspection? I want the people who were to be the development, enforcement, and building inspectors to answer for these issues. Developers cannot get away with saying one thing and doing something else. It is imperative that the Sussex County go forward and tighten the rules for building and inspecting so that going forward, none of these setback and sidewalk issues ever happen again. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Ma'am, if they put the sidewalks in, would your lot be dissected by one of
the... It would be across the street from me, yes.
It's across the street from you.
I knew nothing about sidewalks when we moved in. We bought second from someone else. I did not even know there were sidewalks, nor did I know there was ever going to be a development, so, and I was going to share my clubhouse with them. But
that's not happening. So you bought your house, you were the second buyer.
Yes, sir.
So you didn't bargain for a sidewalk.
That is correct.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll start with you, sir, and then ma'am, you in the yellow, you'll be next, okay? All right.
My name is Jim Berthelet, and I bought at Holland Mill. I live at 27380 Walking Run in Holland Mills.
Yeah.
My lot would be affected by the sidewalks, okay? And I'm against the sidewalks. So you said our first couple of brief things. When I first bought my home, I got the site plan, and I know that they presented a few of these to you.
Yeah.
And the site plan in no way showed sidewalks.
Right.
And it was my understanding. I didn't know if we're having sidewalks or not, but the site plan sure didn't show it. Now, if I knew there was going to be sidewalks, I would have had my house set back further on the lot,
right,
to provide me a decent front yard. The other thing is, I keep one of the better lawns in the neighborhood, and I have irrigation lines out all the way. It would be an expense to myself and to other people if sidewalks were put in between that swale and the house. Also, I don't want to be able to jump from my front porch to a sidewalk. If I wanted to live in a townhouse, I would have bought a townhouse. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and that's all. I just want to voice my opinion against things, okay?
No sidewalks for you.
No sidewalks for me. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Yes, ma'am, you're next.
I'm Connie Christofoli. The first time I heard about sidewalks was when I was in Florida in January from next door.
And how long have you been there?
We moved in May of 2013. Okay, I don't know if it would be appropriate for you to take a look at my phone pictures of our property, because we are one of the properties where the swale is like a ditch.
Okay. The real question here tonight is about sidewalks.
Okay.
Are you?
My question is, if I showed you this and you saw that our property goes down like that and up like that, mm-hmm. and if a sidewalk was put here, mm-hmm. number one, it would be a danger to anybody walking on it because of the slope close to our house.
Right.
And possibly the other side, too.
Okay.
And it would bisect our front lawn.
So you
I am definitely against it.
Although
I feel very uncomfortable supporting the builder because of some of the previous things that have happened.
Well, I understand that. And the question really is about the sidewalks, and I know there could be other issues, and I would urge you to take them up.
Oh, no,
them.
I'm not going to discuss that. But I do feel
you can't
strong,
tonight anyway.
Yeah, so I feel strongly in support of what you said before, that if somebody presents you with something, that they should follow through.
That's the whole reason we're here.
Right.
Thank you. Ma'am, thank you very
could
much.
Could I get your name, please? I missed it.
Connie Christofoli.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, sir, with your hand up, up high. Yeah, come on.
Hi, I'm Hugo Sita. I also live at 19240 Dutton. We are lot 95, okay. Dale Miller. When we bought that house, had they told me that sidewalks were going to be 15 feet from the street into my property, I would not have bought there.
Yeah.
That's number one.
Right.
We have spent thousands of dollars on fence, plants, shrubbery, trees, thousands of dollars to fix this property, as you drove through and saw how many of us have. The lawns are beautiful. The people take care of them. We don't want sidewalks that you can come from your house, walk 3 feet and step on two. I grew up in the city. Growing up in the city, you walked out your door, you walked onto the sidewalk. Moving to Delaware, I expected what I have now. We don't want the sidewalk. I live on a corner lot. I'm only affected on one side, on the Dutton Street side, which is where we would have to move gas lines, propane is there, the electric is there, our cable is there, our fence is there, our trees are there. Would you want that? I don't want that. I don't want people to take what we spent, our hard-earned money, to make look nice away from us over somebody's problem because who did or who didn't do the right thing when the place was built. We should have known. We should have been told. I would not have bought that house. We're there 3 years. We love it just the way it is. We walk in the streets. It's safe. We all watch out for each other. I have a little dog. We walk around the streets. We're comfortable. We're safe. We take care of each other. It's a very tight community. I'm against the sidewalks.
Okay. Well, if it means anything to you, I think that these two gentlemen over here are probably against the sidewalks, too.
Yes, so. They are.
Yeah. All righty. Thank you. Who's next? Yes, ma'am. And then you, sir, in a gray shirt, you'll be next.
My name's Yvonne Simon, and I live at 27365. I've lived there for 14 months. Sidewalks were never, ever, ever mentioned when I bought that house, when I put the money down on it.
Okay.
I don't want the sidewalks, and if I have to have a sidewalk 15 feet from my door, I have spent tons of money, ask anybody here, on fence, on trees, on shrubs. Who's going to reimburse you for all that stuff?
Right.
Because somebody didn't see that somebody else did their job. You either going to have it or you're not. Mm-hmm. And actually, when you're building a development, don't you put the sidewalks in after you put the road in? Then you build the house? Is that not appropriate? When I bought in other places, all the wires for the gas, electric, the pipes, the sewage, the plumbing went in, and then the sidewalks went in, and then the house went on the lot. This is ass backwards. I'm sorry, gentlemen. So, no lots for, no walks.
Welcome to Sussex County. And that's probably why our taxes are so low. You know? We're just doing it what she said. Okay, yeah, okay. All right, let me just ask a question. Is there anybody here that adamantly wants these sidewalks installed? Is there anybody who would admit to actually wanting the sidewalks installed? You've had your chance. Thank you. Okay. I think we're kind of getting to drift here, and we'll be happy to take a show of hands. Now, that being said, is there anyone else who really wants to speak? Because you're certainly welcome to, but I think we're getting the idea. I saw a hand back here. Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah. I don't want to deprive anybody. You've been here all night. Believe me, if you want to speak, we're going to listen. Go ahead.
I'm here because my wife said I had to do this. My name is Bruce Bagley.
You're a wise man.
I always do what you're told.
Right.
We live 27364 Walking Run. We oppose the sidewalks.
Okay.
you guys have your work cut out for you, getting your issues, your technical issues resolved, and I appreciate the hard work that's going to take.
Yeah.
I'm
We're
sure
not
you'll,
done with them yet.
You'll get things right. I'm speaking to you from the homeowner's common sense side of things. I also appreciate that you have made your rounds and saw our neighborhood and recognize that the lawns are well kept and pristine. So I just want to be real simple and just bring up an old saying, two wrongs don't make a right. It was wrong to not install the sidewalks at the proper time of construction. It's also wrong to expect us to bear the burden of having that being done now after the fact. So what I'm asking the council to do now is to do the right thing and delete the sidewalks to help us out. And I appreciate your hard work.
All right, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Is there anyone else that would like to speak and express a different opinion than what we've already heard? Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. Come on. Yeah. It's your night. This is your moment. This is your 15 minutes of fame, but please don't take 15 minutes.
I won't. I'm a teacher. I'm done. Today was the last day, so I'm good. I don't need to talk.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm Teresa Polson. I live at 27436 Walking Run, and I am against the sidewalks. However, one of the concerns that I have, along with some of my other fellow neighbors, is we keep hearing walking trails with an S. We have one walking trail, and I believe, like Hugo mentioned or Dale mentioned, that trail in itself, if that's going to be what's going to suffice for a sidewalk somewhere safe for my 15-year-old to walk as she learns to walk, then it needs to be kept in a manner that is safe. There's already divots and dents in it. Not necessarily straight, but it just needs some repair already, and it's all only a year old. So I just want to say, if there's walking trails, as when you come into Holland Mills, it still advertises that. Maybe that's for phase three. I don't know. But I think that's something that does need to be addressed.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Anyone else? Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Come on up.
Evening. My name is Flor Cassio, and I am at lot 105 at 15163 Cootlands Reach. I don't know who came out with all those names, but they're
walking
interesting.
Run, really?
I know. Yeah. Cootlands Reach. Don't know what that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we
sidewalks.
Don't get to pick the names. So.
Sidewalks are the issue, and
it's one thing the county didn't do. We didn't pick the names.
Good. I was ready to give him a piece of my mind. Anyway, sidewalks are the issue, and when I bought here last year, I was never aware of sidewalks being part of the plan.
Right.
I am a walker. I enjoy walking all over the place. The walking trails is what lure me into the subdivision. And I agree with Teresa that I would like to see the trails, perhaps, instead of the sidewalks.
Okay.
Thank you.
All righty. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm Jim Ludwig. I live on 27376 Walking Run, as many other people live on Walking Run. It's a long stretch, and the one side I live on is along the wood line,
mm-hmm.
and we've all got swales. Not two swales are alike in that development. There's some Normandy Beach swales in there, and there's some nice swales in there. It's amazing. They call me the mayor. I talk a lot. I wasn't going to get up and talk. You've heard a lot already. I don't want to be redundant like the lawyer said here. Don't be redundant. But it's great that we're not getting these, hopefully we're not getting these sidewalks, because it's a crazy place with the plan on putting them. It's too bad. Maybe if they were put in from the get-go, it would have looked nice the way they should be. I'm a New Yorker also, like Hugo said, and I used to walk out on the sidewalks as well. Don't want to do that no more, especially living here in Delaware. But I think we should be compensated maybe by the developer for some other things if they don't have to spend all that money on sidewalks, if you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
Just
what you
my
saying.
Thoughts. Thank
okay.
you for your time.
You're welcome. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I need to remind you that we no applause, no shouting out, okay? That's just my job. Okay, who's next?
Anybody else wish to speak? All right. Let's have a show of hands. You have a question, or you?
I just want to ask Mark a question.
Oh, okay. Well, we got a question from the commission for Mr. Davidson.
Mark, are you telling me that in the 50-foot easement, you can't even put a closed system in? Closed sidewalk. I mean, with the drainage enclosed underneath.
Not with the cross section that is required for the swales on both sides. The cross slope of the sidewalk, the angle of that sidewalk, will exceed what is the minimum requirement for ADA.
Even if you pipe the ditch and you elevated that side to the level of the yard.
Well, the piping right at this point would change the stormwater for the entire site.
It's still got to go through a pipe, Mark. I mean, it's, you know, eventually.
Not necessarily.
Well, every one of those driveways have a pipe.
That's correct. And that was factored into the design of the stormwater management system. So if you decided to take one side of the road and pipe the entire side of the road to put a sidewalk on, it changes the actual design of the stormwater.
But wouldn't the stormwater have been designed at the same time that the sidewalks were designed? I mean, you're saying that you can't do...
Are you talking about something that could have been done or something that can be done today? Because I think the answer is it probably could have been done. I doubt seriously you could do it now. You know, I mean, and not without some tremendous economic waste, which, you know...
But I guess that's the question, and it kind of is a larger question. What happened? I mean, you designed it with swales... And as Mr. Ross asked, perhaps you could have designed it in the first place with a closed system and put sidewalks over top of it. I agree with Mr. Wheatley that in the past, and you can't retrofit it. But what happened during the engineering where you had a final site plan that had sidewalks and you're designing a stormwater with swales, and now we're hearing that's not compatible?
Well, there's a difference between the sidewalk itself is an impervious surface. Right. On how to design a stormwater management system. But when you do a closed stormwater management system, it speeds up the rate of runoff in which the stormwater will reach the stormwater management pond. That's all sized. It's all done through the calculations, the programs that we have to be able to calculate and size.
That's not my question. I
understand. To be simple about it, the sidewalks were placed at the top of the bank in a 6-foot easement off the right-of-way line into the lots.
Okay.
Because they could not meet the requirements of ADA within the cross section that's proposed.
Done. So that was my question at the time. Finally, yes. It wasn't like the stormwater management was designed and you completely ignored the sidewalks.
I was just trying to answer Mr. Ross where if you tried to close that system, that swale, by piping the whole thing and putting the then put the sidewalk on top of that closed system, it changes everything within the subdivision.
I understand that. My I guess going back to my question is taking the closed system out of it, you had to design the swales with enough slope and everything to get it to the stormwater management pond.
Correct.
But at the same time, the final site plan showed sidewalks. When you were designing the swale system, did you not take into account
that? If you look at the cross section on the last page of the plans that were submitted, you have a 20-foot wide road section, okay? So you have 10 foot from the center line is your pavement.
Right.
12 feet from that edge of pavement is your center line of swale.
Right.
You go 3-to-1 back up, you go another 3 feet, that's the right-of-way line. That begins the lot line.
Right.
Okay, so that's 15 feet from the edge of pavement.
Right.
That makes up your 50-foot right-of-way.
Okay.
We placed the sidewalk on the...
On the lot side.
On the lot side
the lot.
Of the...
And that was my question, because the way it was explained, it sounded like you designed the stormwater management system, and that's why I wanted to get clear. It almost sounded like you didn't even think about whether there was sidewalks or not.
The sidewalks were placed on the lot side.
They were always supposed to be on the lot side.
That's correct.
Okay, it wasn't like, oh, no, we forgot the sidewalks. We have to put them on the lot side.
Yeah.
That was part of the design.
The Anthem is under construction? I mean, are the roads under construction in Anthem?
We began phase one of Anthem, and we started a smaller section of Anthem as to be substantially underway and to be able to continue to keep that subdivision along.
I mean, could you redesign the stormwater management to do a closed system in Anthem?
The problem with that would be is you would have to design the road cross sections that are allowed within the county. Doesn't allow for, and Mr. Dyer explained this, It used to be called a super elevated roadway, where you had one swale on one side and you had the upper slope. That is not allowed to be, that is not allowed in, under the Sussex County Engineering design criteria anymore. So either you have swales on both sides, or you have no swales whatsoever, curb and gutter, and a closed drainage system.
On both sides?
On both sides. So it's not, you can't just have one swale on one side any longer.
You'll never see a one-sided sidewalk anymore.
Maybe in a closed drainage system with curb and gutter on both sides, you might. You might have a sidewalk on one side. At that point, you're not worried about the slopes. You're not worried about, you can meet the ADA requirements at that point.
So what happens if we decide that Anthem does not get the waiver from the sidewalks? Then what do you do?
I'm thinking you have to put the sidewalks in inside the lots within a 6-foot easement, and every lot will be burdened with the 6-foot easement and the sidewalk.
Nothing's been sold, right?
Nothing's been sold.
Thank you.
Okay, anyone else have any questions? All right. Let's have a show of hands for everybody that wants the sidewalks built. All right. I don't know that we need to count them up, but just for the sake of asking, how many don't want the sidewalks? I would say that looks like a unanimous group. We won't bother to count. So. All right, then. Well, before we close the public hearing, let me just thank you all once again, and I apologize to you on behalf of Sussex County for issues that, or the part of this issue that for which the county is responsible. We will take your comments, Mr. and Mrs. Hart, to heart, and pass them on to the folks that need to hear them. And I will tell you that it does matter that you're here and that what you said, because quite honestly, I think in the minds of the commission, it was up to you, you know? So thank you for being here. Now, we have, believe it or not, a lot more business to do this evening. So I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. When we adjourn the public hearing, I'm going to ask you to leave very quickly and quietly, unless you're going to remain to see what we decide, and you're certainly welcome to do that. So with that, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Okay, that completes our public hearings. Moving on to other business.
You've got to bring the one back up.
Public hearing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay.
Pause for 5 minutes.
Do what? You want to take a 5-minute recess?
No, I'm good.
You're good? All right. Referring back... to our
gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're still having a meeting, please, okay? Quickly and quietly.
Doesn't
matter what you say.
Might as well recess.
Yeah. Okay, conditional use number 2017, Eli and Victoria Zakaria. Is there anyone here representing this application?
They might be our first test case.
That's absolutely right.
That's right.
On the new ordinance.
Might be.
Okay, well.
After Yoder.
No one is here. All right. We'll give them to the very, very end. We'll do our other business, and I doubt anybody's going to show up. But first item of other business is Double R Holdings, conditional use number 1855, final site plan on road on Plantation Road. Mr. Johnson, that's in your vast area of responsibility.
It is, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Chairman, concerning conditional use number 1855, my motion is for approval as a final site plan.
I will second that motion. Moved and seconded to approve Double R Holdings conditional use number 1855, final site plan as a final. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Millsboro Self-Storage, preliminary site plan, Route 113 and Handy Road.
Before you get to the comments on this one, who seconded that second one?
I think it was Mr. Burton.
Mr. Burton. Okay. Oh, did I ask you?
Oh, quick.
Crawford is
a little better. A little fast.
Fast on the draw.
Wow, look who's here.
Mr. Robertson.
Let's head this up. I think we probably should have a lot of questions for Mr. Bedlars.
Make some up.
next application, could we let Janelle read her comments into the record so we have some comments in the record?
Yeah.
You were just a little slow there.
The comments are part of the record for the benefit of the public on that last one. They just weren't read, but it's helpful.
I know. They're in the record. I just don't know why you heard them.
No, I agree with you. We got to make that statement.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't give you a chance to say anything.
No, you didn't.
I'm sorry. And Mike jumped right in there, too.
It's okay.
Really sorry about that.
We voted.
Now it's your time.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I just need it.
This is a preliminary site plan for the construction of 7 storage buildings for a total of 52,800 square feet and one existing 493 square foot building to be utilized as an office with site improvements. The property is bounded by South DuPont Boulevard to the east, Handy Road to the west, Dickerson Road to the north. The site plan indicates several parking spaces located within the front yard setback that requires Planning Commission approval. The site is in compliance with the setbacks and the landscape buffer for the combined highway corridor overlay zone along DuPont Boulevard. The proposed billboards require a special use exception from the Board of Adjustment and are not subject to approval of the site plan. A parcel consolidation plan will be recorded prior to final site plan to combine the 6 parcels of land into 1 parcel of land. The property is zoned C1 General Commercial District, and it is approximately 6.04 acres, and staff is awaiting approvals from the other reviewing agencies. Thank you.
And thank you, Janelle. And just for the benefit of the commission, this property is located on 113 south of the Peninsula Crossings Shopping Center, and just north, Handy Road comes in where Delmarva Power has a business office. With that said, it was in the vicinity of, I think, the old Corman's package store and a laundromat, which do have parking in the front yard setbacks in the highway corridor. So, gentlemen, my motion is for approval as a preliminary site plan, the request by Millsboro Self-Storage.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve Millsboro Self-Storage preliminary site plan on Route 113 and Handy Road. Motion with final approval by the staff subject to receipt of all the permits, or do you want you to see it again?
Why don't we see it again? Because, you know, there's still a building on this site.
Okay.
Maybe we want to see these easel boards.
All right, then.
Somebody want to decide to remove something.
Okay. The motion is to approve as a preliminary.
Correct.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is the Lewis Car Wash preliminary site plan on Marsh Road.
This is a preliminary site plan for the construction of a 4,368 square foot car wash with site improvements. The property is located on the west side of Five Point Square north of Marsh Road. The site is in compliance with the setbacks. The site plan indicates several parking spaces within the front yard setback that does require site plan planning commission approval. The property is zoned C1 General Commercial District. The property is 0.87 acres. Staff is in receipt of DLDOT and Sussex Conservation District approvals and is awaiting approvals from the other reviewing agencies. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I don't understand where the parking in the front yard setback is on this site.
It's a question of, I put it in there just in case to cover it, because really it's going to be off of a private road, and then within their setback and where the adjacent property lines is, it's a little close. I just threw it in there just to cover, just in case anybody in the future questioned the setback.
Like that angle line.
Because of this property?
Because of where this property line is.
But nothing can be built here, right?
Correct. That's a stormwater management pond.
Right.
Correct. So but that's a separate parcel of land.
That's not owned by them.
Correct.
So that's why it's in the
park. Yes.
Okay. Chairman, my motion is for preliminary approval of Lewis Car Wash on Marsh Road. Preliminary site plan approval.
You want to come back here?
Yes.
Moved and seconded to approve the Lewis Car Wash preliminary site plan on Marsh Road. And is that the final by the staff or no? Just straight?
What are we waiting on? Okay.
We're waiting on engineering and fire marshal, and they need to revise the plan for staff comments that was submitted to them.
I would like to see it again.
Yeah, just preliminary. Okay. Just as a preliminary only, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is refuge at Derrickson Creek, commercial site plan on Route 54.
This is a preliminary site plan for the construction of 20 townhouses. The property is located within the refuge of at Derrickson Creek, which is an MRRPC development located off Lighthouse Road. The townhouses will be located on the former commercial property parcel within the development. This is a revision of the MRRPC to remove the commercial parcel and increase the number of dwellings. That was approved by the Planning Commission at their meeting on August 21st of 2014 and by County Council at their meeting on May 15th of 2014. The proposed plan for the 20 townhouses in compliance with the amended ordinance for the RPC, MRRPC and the zoning. The site indicates several parking spaces within the front yard setback that requires Planning Commission approval. And again, the property is zoned MR, medium density residential district, and is part of an RPC. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion on this, and my motion would be dealing with this request by the refuge at Derrickson Creek as a preliminary site plan for approval.
Second. Moved and seconded to approve the refuge at Derrickson Creek commercial site plan on Route 54. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Question?
Sorry. Yes, sir.
Is that final subject to staff, or does it come back?
Final subject to staff.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Final approval will be subject to staff upon receipt of all other permits. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Double J Properties LLC parking expansion on Route 24.
Thank you. This is a preliminary site plan for the construction of a 4,346 square foot building addition, a parking lot expansion, and site improvements. There is an existing medical office building located on the site. With the addition, the building will be 24,995 square feet. The site will have 162 parking spaces. The number of parking spaces exceeds the number required per the zoning ordinance. The property is zoned C1 General Commercial. The property is located on John J. Williams Highway, Route 24, and staff is awaiting other approvals from the reviewing agencies. Thank you.
And that's the Del Rye Institute, I believe.
Yes.
Well, gentlemen, anybody have a need to see you back here? I think that I'm okay with it being subject to the commission. I need to stay. So, Mr. Chairman, my motion is for a preliminary approval of this project with the final approval subject to the staff receiving all the agency approvals.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve Double J Properties LLC parking expansion on Route 24 as a preliminary with final approval to be by the staff subject to receipt of all of the permits. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Lester R. and Raymond L. Miller relocating an existing 50-foot easement, Route 16 and Road 32.
Thank you. As a part of a lot line adjustment, the existing 50-foot easement is proposed to be relocated from the west side of parcel District 530, Map 9, Parcel 53, to the east side of the parcel for the creation of a 50-foot easement. The property is zoned AR1 Agricultural Residential District and is located on the south side of Hickman Road, west of Delaware Drive. Thanks.
Okay.
It's okay with me. And so we're not creating a new lot here. We're
just moving an easement.
We're moving the easement from the east to the west.
Correct.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, my motion is for approval of the relocation of an existing 50-foot easement on lands owned by Lester and Raymond Miller on Hickman Road.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve relocating a 50 existing 50-foot easement for Lester R. and Raymond L. Miller. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Our next item is BLN LLC, two parcels and a 50-foot easement on Road 18.
Thank you. This is a minor subdivision to create a new parcel of land with a residual lot and a 50-foot easement. The minor subdivision would create a 3.951-acre parcel with a required 150-foot road frontage. And then it would also create a 9.210-acre parcel of land with a 50-foot easement. The 50-foot easement covers the existing drive into the property. The easement would then cut across the property going west and then run along the west property line. The Planning Commission previously deferred app decision at their April 9th meeting and at their May 7th meeting of this year to allow for further review of the application. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Robertson, can we approve this with the caveat that there will be no further subdivision of that parcel?
I think so, yeah. Okay. Now, which parcel are you talking about?
Because the back parcel that's being served by this 50-foot easement.
I don't know that you can necessarily do that, because if it meets the subdivision code, somebody could apply for it. They didn't have the right to apply for it and have the hearing. I don't know that you can prevent them from applying for it.
I think the applicant, his intention is to put his own private home back there, and he probably needs the subdivision in order to effect a mortgage.
We did receive a letter from the survey on behalf of the applicant, just short to the whole purposes for to construct a dwelling to the rear. And I'll assume that that's the issue. It's probably the lending institute probably saying, rate for your house.
If they want to voluntarily do that and put that as a note on the plan, that no further subdivision shall be required without, I think that what you have to do is say no further subdivision be permitted
without a public hearing.
Yeah.
I think on that basis, I'm okay with it if we approve it with any further subdivision requiring a public hearing.
You can raise a question.
What happens when somebody, if that property in the back changes hands to somebody else, and they got to go through the zigzag through this other property through this right of way? I mean, it's one thing if the owner of his or his family member is putting a house back there, but as we know, things happen and.
I think that's a real issue of marketability. Yeah. You know, I mean, you'd be buying it knowing that that's the situation, because it would be surveyed out, and you know, you would buy it knowing that's the way you're getting to your piece of property. You know, so.
It'd make more sense to create a right of way on the left-hand side of that property where they already are shut. I don't know what that 15-foot.
Well, there's a representative here this evening. If you'd like to hear from him, he'll.
I'd like a public hearing.
And Mr. Cotton, would you mind coming up and just answering a question or two here? Introduce yourself, please.
Yes, sir. Michael Cotton, Cotton Engineering, 10087 Concord Road, Seaford. To answer your question, there is a sliver of land on the left portion of the site, but it's only 16 feet wide. It does not meet the 50-foot minimum. So it was either request a variance to go down to the 16-foot, which would not be copacetic, or do the best fit for the 50-foot-wide easement through the site, which was a real trick to try and figure out because it's very tight.
Well, back to my original question or thought was, why not add to that 15-foot and create a 50-foot right-of-way?
That's the adjacent property owner owns that piece of parcel.
So that parcel that's now going to be surrounded by this zigzagging thing is a separate owner?
Yes.
I'd like to have a public hearing. I think that person should have an opportunity to speak about having this thing that's going to wrap around them. If I was a homeowner, I'd be concerned.
So that would be an easement where no construction or no structures would be permitted within 50 feet of his property line.
Right.
I share the same concern with development in the back.
Yeah.
Well, I was under the impression one person owned the whole thing.
No, now we're hearing this rectangle piece here is somebody different.
Okay. Well, up to you guys. What do you want to do?
May I read the letter that I sent Mr. Lank?
You may.
To Mr. Lank, the purpose of this minor subdivision is for my client, the owner of BNL, LLC, Mr. Leon Ware, to build his personal residence behind the existing storage facility. Mr. Ware does not desire to develop the proposed parcel other than a single-family residence. The purpose of this subdivision is so that he may be able to install an on-site septic system on this separate parcel for his residence. The proposed 50-foot right-of-way through the existing storage area allows for access to the proposed parcel through the existing electronic gate and avoid any of the existing buildings or stormwater management systems.
Has this been discussed with the neighbor?
Mr. Ware was not in really good terms with the neighbor. Hmm. Not that they're not speaking, but the parcel was originally bought from that neighbor.
What's happening with the 3.95 acres?
The existing
track one, it says.
The existing 3.9, or the original, is part commercial and part AR, and nothing is happening with that.
So that's just vacant land right now?
It's overgrown.
So the man that owns the 3.95 also owns the 9.2 in the back.
May I see what you're pointing at?
Sure. We have this piece here.
Yes, that is all part of the same parcel. This is all one parcel left.
Right. Now. And he wants to build his house back here.
He wants to put his house back here.
Instead of building here.
Instead of building, it's a circuitous piece.
I don't know.
That way he's back out in the privacy.
Mr. Cotton, are any of these lines along the easement, any of the points in dispute, the property lines, are there any?
No,
is there any
no property in dispute.
Because, I mean, it just baffles me how you could end up with somebody owning all this, a different owner, and yet this 50-foot meandering through here somehow is owned by this guy. It just baffles me.
Does the same guy own where the storage is?
The same guy owns the whole parcel
yep.
right now.
Except for that one rectangle.
Except for this.
Yeah. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
For that house
except
out
for
front.
This.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's just caveating this out of existing ownership.
Yeah, or
it would make more sense to have a 50-foot wide street easement from the entrance going all the way back, but that would encroach upon the existing structure of the storage buildings.
Gotcha. Right.
And he sort of.
And he doesn't want to tear it out of storage building and put it.
Yeah, but he jammed himself up as far as the back of the property, put the storage buildings on the front. Yeah.
That was the best
He's just lucky he built them in a place that was 50 feet between those two points.
Yeah, that was probably dumb luck.
Yeah.
Well, we had to really search to find 50-foot wide access to
go. You need to speak in the mic so they can't pick you.
Right.
I don't know that I'm as concerned about the other guy.
Yeah, it's adjoining property either way. The 50-foot easement, I mean, we're not going to be able to deny it if he doesn't want it. It's just an easement, right?
Yeah.
If anything, it gives him a 50-foot buffer from anything being built there.
Yeah.
So
actually, it's true. That 50 feet will have to be kept clear, so at least won't be anything next to him.
Correct. That is essentially a 50-foot buffer all the way around. Is
well, it has to be the road. I mean,
yep.
That's where the road's going to go.
Okay. Well, no, it's it isn't pretty, but
it's raining.
So their original suggestion was that any further subdivision shall require public hearing. If you so grant this application.
That would be my suggestion.
There's no way to put a condition on that. No.
I don't really think you can. If it is a piece of property large enough where you can apply for it, we can't stop somebody from applying. We can stop somebody from subdividing if it's not appropriate to subdivide it later on, but they have the right to the public hearing.
So, Ms. Cornwell, since the commission and our director are all aging, you need to keep your memory cells going if this comes back to us.
That's right.
Got it.
That's right. Okay.
What's it do? You guys are killing me here. Jeez Louise. Mr. Chairman, I move that we grant this minor subdivision for the creation of one lot. Wait a minute. Yes, that's right, with a 50-foot easement. The minor subdivision will create 3.951-acre parcel with the required 150-foot frontage and 9.210-acre parcel with access to this 50-foot easement, with any further subdivision of the parcel to require a public hearing.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve two parcels and a 50-foot easement on Route 18 for BLN LLC with the provision that any further subdivision shall be considered a major subdivision application requiring a public hearing. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Carried. All right.
One ugly night.
Referring back to our public hearings, our first public hearing was conditional use number 2017, Eli and Victoria Zakaria. No one here present would require us to recommend denial for lack of a record. So I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Burton.
Do we ask again, just in case?
One more time. Anyone here representing conditional use number 2017, Eli and Victoria Zakaria?
No one present.
No one present. Mr. Burton.
Chairman, considering CU 2017, Eli and Victoria Zakaria, my motion is for denial for lack of a record.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to recommend denial of conditional use number 2017, Eli and Victoria Zakaria, for lack of a record. All
question, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Given our new ordinance, should we state in there that no one showed?
Well, record will show it anyway. That
the record
no one
shows
showed.
It. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Just didn't know if I need to do something special.
Lack of a record, no one showed up.
Thank you.
All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Our next public hearing was conditional use number 2018, David Clark Lankford. Gentlemen, this application is in my vast area of responsibility. And I have some grave concerns about this. First of all, is generally in residential areas of this type, we've been rather reluctant to grant conditional uses of any kind. Typically on interior streets of a subdivision that are subject to restrictive covenants, we don't even consider it. Some of the older subdivisions where there weren't restrictive covenants, as a policy, we have avoided it over the years, at least the 20 years I've been on the commission. There was significant public opposition, and I just have some very grave concerns about it. So I'm certainly open to any other. As you know, Chairman, I can't make a motion, but I'm happy to hear what the rest of you had to say.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I share your concerns, and I also think that we did get on the record some revealing testimony from someone that testified as what I would call an expert, a credentialed insurance agent that brought up some issues.
I think there's a lot of problems with it. I mean, on the one hand, that I didn't know about whether or not it would qualify as a home base. And I think it's very clear it doesn't, given the nature of it. I think the additional risks that are involved in storing firearms and ammunition is another issue inside of a subdivision. So it's not like it's on a street like it's not like what we dealt with the veterinarian, where maybe she really wasn't in a subdivision, but she was on the street leading this up. Subdivision, but this is smack dab in the middle one. So parking is the issue. I would not be in favor of approving this one either.
I have the same concerns, and I think messing with a subdivision, whether it's
before the zoning or after the zoning code. I think we got to be careful.
I agree.
Okay. The question about guns and ammo being sporting goods, when I saw the application sporting goods, guns and ammo did not even cross my mind. And I only thought to ask the question when the applicant testified that he had formerly owned a gun shop, and then it clicked in my mind that we were talking about guns and ammo. Are guns and ammo considered sporting goods?
Yes, sir.
Are they? Yes. Okay.
Code's silent on separating them out.
Okay, I was just asking the question. If it is, it is. I was just surprised by it.
So you don't get.
You're obviously not a member of the NRA.
That's true.
It references in the code to.
But I support everyone's Second Amendment rights.
Shooting ranges, rifle ranges, just archery ranges, and sales.
That kind of an application in a residential neighborhood in general, but you know the parking is awful. And to have guns in sale of guns in a residential neighborhood just doesn't seem right.
Would it? I suspect it would be prudent to defer in order to have time to write
proper,
a motion.
Yeah,
write a proper motion. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, regarding conditional use number 2018, applicant being David Clark Langford, my motion is for deferral at this time for further consideration by the commission.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to defer action on conditional use number 2018, David Clark Langford. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. For those of you who remained that have an interest in this application, what is happening is the deferral of action is done to give our council time to write a proper motion so that we don't have to do it on the fly and risk making some type of error that would cause it to not be valid. So that's what that's all about. It's quite likely that this will be put back on the next agenda, which is June 25th. If not, then it'll be the first meeting in July. Just keep an eye on the county website. You'll see it come up on the agenda, and. So I just wanted you to understand what just happened.
They missed this on the Wide World, Worldwide, one of these webs.
You can.
Another hearing, also in front of County Council.
Yeah, right.
Now, I understand that we make a recommendation to County Council, and then County Council will have a hearing, and then they will make a final decision. So it's very important to be at that County Council hearing as well if you wish to be heard, because they see. They have their own hearing and simply take our recommendation, but they may or may not vote the same way we do. So it's important to be there. Okay, then. Our next public hearing was
Charles Allman.
Change of zone number 1775, Charles R. Allman Jr., just like it says here on this paper.
Mr. Life got a huge Charlie horse over here. He tells me from being jammed in back here, so he's antsy to get going.
Is that screen encroaching on your space?
No.
All the audio stuff, and it's he's.
I'm sitting on the edge of the chair that's got the little roll in it, and it grabbed me three times so far. Oh, I'm seeing me standing up over.
He's actually sitting in the IT department.
Oh, is that?
I'm sitting in the IT department right here.
Mr. Burton, what's your pleasure with Mr. Altman tonight?
I move that we recommend approval of change in zone 1775 for Charles R. Allman Jr. for the change in zone from AR1 and GR to CR1 based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. The property is currently used as a seafood packaging and wholesale company. It has been used for these purposes for many years. There are several commercial and marine uses in the area. Rezoning this property to CR1 will be consistent with these nearby uses. The existing use is more compatible with CR1 commercial zoning than the current agricultural and residential zoning of AR1 and GR, so the rezoning is appropriate. The rezoning will not affect neighboring or adjacent properties or traffic or area roadways. No parties appeared in opposition to this rezoning application. any change of zone in use of this property will still require site plan review and approval by the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to recommend approval of change of zone number 1775, Charles Altman Jr., for the reasons and with the conditions stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is subdivision 2004-52 of Holland Mills.
Chairman, considering 2004-52 Holland Mills subdivision, my motion is for deferral to allow the commission further time.
I just didn't know. I was going to say if there was any discussion on it in the meantime.
Yeah, does anyone wish to?
I'd be interested in hearing some discussion.
Well, I think we've been put into a pickle barrel, you know, with this thing, you know, with what they've done so far. I don't know that. With so many of these residents bought houses without the expectation of sidewalks, they don't want sidewalks. As much as I'm aggravated by it and beyond that, I don't know that really we have much choice at this point.
On Holland Mills,
because we're talking about 52 now. So because of their arbitrary decision to remove it, you know, and when they built it and they got so far along that there's really not a whole lot we can do to resolve the issue. I do hate the narrow roads. I do hate the fact that there isn't safe pedestrian travel. I do hate that they got away with it. And I kind of agree with that one gentleman. Maybe there'll be some compensation. But I don't know that's beyond our ability to do so. But I wouldn't mind if they could skip paying their HOA dues for about 5 years. Because 2.78 miles of sidewalks is a mess of money. And they just, and okay. You cut that in half, so you got 1.4 miles that they skipped that on. Because it wasn't enumerated, but as I told them earlier, if they're going to proffer something and then they don't do it, I mean, does that mean that I can't take their word on anything? Streetlights, are they a requirement in subdivisions, Mr. Robertson? So.
Well, and I'll tell you, that's why we got to the point where our motions got to be so long, is because people were proffering things. And they weren't showing up, and so finally, you know, this goes back 13 years or whatever, but it would come back, well, you said you were going to do it, well, it wasn't in the motion, you know. So
right, that's what I'm saying. Now my motions are going to go from 3 pages to 6 pages because I'm going to have to enumerate every stupid thing that they proffer or that they promise us the daggone world, and then, you know, so what would...
Well, at the beginning... The questions were being asked as to what they were going to put in. And you would ask questions about sidewalks, and one of your other special things was basketball courts.
Paved multi-sport courts.
Well, we changed it to paved multi-sport courts. Anyway, you were asking those questions, and they started to proffer all the streetlights, the sidewalks, and the sport courts, and the swimming pools, and then it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And
well, and that's all. I mean, the more amenities you provide, the more superior the design is. That's common sense. I mean, if you want to have dirt roads, you know, fine. That's an amenity to some people. But I know we have the county. We do have the county specs on our roads. So at least we're not getting dirt roads now.
It's I will say though, you know. That's the purpose, and not sidewalks, take that out of it, but between preliminary and final, you go through all the agency approvals. At some point, you can't get so far in the conditions that you don't recognize that there are adjustments that are made between preliminary and final. I don't know if that's sidewalks or one of them. That's what goes back to, I don't think it should be dealt with at all in planning and zoning. It should be a road design issue that, you know, if you've got 50 lots, you put in cross sections and you got to do sidewalks, and it's dealt with upstairs, and everybody knows it, and they don't deal with it.
And the
it's
best,
too much can change.
In the best of all worlds, that's true, but absent that, don't we have some responsibility in the safe design of subdivisions? I mean, because the buck stops here. It doesn't go up to council to then vote on it unless it's it's appealed.
Well, and I agree with that.
Ordinances that we have to have amenities.
But, you know, Mike, that gets into personal choice of who wants sidewalks or who doesn't versus, you know, offering them and not fulfilling that obligation. And to this issue, I mean, I respect Mr. Davidson a great deal because he's before the commission a lot. He's a good engineer. But, you know, they knew when they went to soil conservation and did their stormwater management and put the swales in that the sidewalks weren't going to work. They knew right then.
Right.
And there was no reason for that to continue on and have sidewalks in that final site plan. And you, to your point of having adjustments, I agree with that. But when they proffer sidewalks, they can't use stormwater management as an excuse when all they're trying to do is reduce the size of their stormwater pond. You know, that's what's really happened here. And I agree with you, Mike, and this is aggravating because they not only promised that, but then they sold lots on that. And so now here's the quagmire. So, I mean, I agree with you, Mike. We're in a pickle on this, and I'm in agreement with needing an ordinance to address this issue without taking away the flexibility and without requiring something that it should be a public choice. Some people may want them, some people may not. That's fine, but we have to find a way to allow the public to choose their own poison. But we need something that's enforceable. And my temptation is that, you know, since we're in this pickle in Holland Mills, what do you do? The owners know they're in a pickle and they don't want to do it. I guess if they want to go to court and get some remuneration, they can try that. That's their choice to pursue other avenues for whatever damages they felt that they've been done. On the second one, we'll discuss that in a bit. I have other thoughts.
And that's what I think I'm in agreement really with both of you. I fall somewhere in the middle because I think where the issue here is that, you know, there are going to be changes in a plan, but somebody should have come to the county when they realized that there were going to be changes. That's where the real problem lies in this, is that there were 70 lots built, roads put in, it went through all the, you know, you can't tell me, I know that there was apologies or whatever, but when you realize there's a problem, you're designing the stormwater management system, to Mr. Ross's point, and you realize with this design or what Sussex Conservation is just telling us to do, we can't put in a sidewalk. That's when you come back and you explain it. And if the, you know, and you haven't sold a lot, you haven't sold any houses, and if the commission believes that that's appropriate and you've got the, you know, the justification for it with Sussex Conservation District, whatever, fine. But we're in the pickle, we're the pickle barrel, because we've gotten this far and it didn't get picked up.
And they're still building new houses.
Yeah, right.
Ben said it earlier, there's a need for the commission to discuss, and we talked about workshops before, what's the criteria where sidewalks should be actually required. And then if they're required, then the street design should be appropriately designed for the Public Works, and it's a record in the ordinance for Public Works on their street design. And we talked about it before. It could be, if you get a 5 or 6 lot subdivision, is there a need for a sidewalk?
Well, when we get into the materials, research materials, and such public things as Livable Delaware, you know, they talk about sidewalks, you know, and as part of safe pedestrian travel, you know, it's not a, to me, it's not a fluff amenity. It's not a tot lot. It's not a paved multi-sport court. It's not a clubhouse.
I don't really think of it as an amenity at all, really. I mean, this is part of the infrastructure.
It's part of the should be part of it, the design of project, especially when you have houses packed on top of each other like you have there. And I'm sorry, they could have designed that project with sidewalks by the roads. They just would have, like the one gentleman said, I would have had my house set back further from the road. So rather than being 27 foot from the road,
well,
maybe it should have been
37, because that right-of-way is still part of his front yard, whether he knows it or not. So if they want to come in there and dig it up and put in a natural gas line,
there's an old,
part of the right-of-way.
There's an old saying in government and politics, no matter what you're talking about money.
Yeah.
And that's what it, what, you know, really what it comes down to. We have to have a definitive way to deal with this. I kind of agree with Vince. In terms of what a sidewalk is, I don't think it's an amenity. I do think it's part of the infrastructure that goes with a development. But until we start requiring something, and I agree with Lawrence, if you've got a 5 or 6 lot subdivision, I mean, do you really need a sidewalk? You know, but, and I don't know the answer to that question, but I'm just saying it is a question. But until we have some definitive rules about this, this stuff is going to keep happening. And I know that people would like to punish the developer for the way they're behaving, but they're being allowed to do it because we don't have a rule. And until we have a rule, this is the kind of stuff that's going to happen. And you're going to be hard-pressed to tell him that he can't, that to make him put a sidewalk in Anthem when we've let everybody else come in here and not have a sidewalk, you know. So how are you going to tell him, you know, just without appearing to be punishing him for what happened at Holland, you know, at Holland Mills?
Well, he's trying to bring Anthem in. We've been dealing with Holland Mills alone.
I know,
until tonight, and they threw the Anthem in into the mix. So I'm not buying that.
I understand what you're saying, but we did it for purposes of consolidation. I mean, well, it's the same issue.
I know, for consolidation of presentation.
Yeah.
But I'm saying our prior discussions about this has only been on Holland Mills because they had already built all these blame houses there.
Yeah, we already.
It never popped up until they applied at the same time, figuring, well, heck, you know, we're going to get away with no sidewalks in Holland Mills, so let's strike while iron's hot.
That's right. And they figured it out. They figured out what I just said. How are they going to be able to say no to us when they've let everybody else get out of it? They're going to, you know, we need to get out of it too. So that's why we need a rule.
Motion. There's been sort of a policy stated here, maybe not unanimously, but by the commission, that if there's not been any lots sold, it's less of a concern. I do have issues about that. We got to, you know, try to treat everybody fairly.
My point. If there are no lots sold there, then we have to treat them the way we treated everybody else, which we've let everybody else out of it.
So, not everybody.
You know.
Well, the ones that haven't been let out have had to come back.
Yeah.
And that's why we're here tonight to do a public hearing. That's one of the first ones we required a public hearing on. Some of the others went ahead and built.
So, anyway.
The final thing I'll say is that I think we're going to be dealing with this with our comprehensive plan update and ordinances to implement that. I think
why do we have to wait 3 years?
Don't, but we're going to have
We have all the talent for that now, yeah. So we're in good shape.
Yeah. Or before.
We're in good shape.
Yeah, before.
Is Cornwell or sidewalks engineering or planning and zoning?
Both.
Oh, good answer.
Well, the difficulty has been in the past that if it was a curb and guttered street, sidewalks were easy. The ordinance provided that you have like a 3-foot or 5-foot grass strip between the sidewalk and the curb.
See, to me,
and it's still within the right way.
It makes more sense for a sidewalk to be optional if you have curb and gutter. You know, because this whole thing is driven by stormwater design. It's not anything about the sidewalks or the pedestrians. It's always about the stormwater design and the slopes that you have to have and all that stuff. You know, well, if you just require curb and gutter everywhere, then you can have or not have a sidewalk.
Engineering, they probably contact you guys all the time. They don't like this arbitrariness because they're looking at uniformity and
they want to know.
And they never know.
All the same.
Yeah, they want them all the same. If we've got swales, how do we design a sidewalk?
And that's an understandable desire. You know, I get that.
And the arbitrariness of it.
Yeah. I can say one thing about curb and gutters, and Mike might not want to hear this because I'm going to talk about Georgetown. The people that walk and jog in Georgetown and most other towns do it on the edge of the curb on the street side, because when they're running on the sidewalks, they get all the driveways that are changing slope because of the drive car's got to be able to get in. They can't jump the curb.
Right.
So they got these little spots, and they stay out in the road.
Right.
So.
Right, that's joggers.
I know, I'm just saying joggers.
Yeah.
And some of the walkers do, too, because yeah. It's just a flat surface. It's not a changing slope. It's, you know.
Well, I could say I can testify that I turned over in an electric scooter because of those dips in those driveways.
I wish I'd have been there.
I'm not asking.
Make me giggle.
Where were you coming from, Mike?
Yeah.
I should have been driving down
Coral,
the road.
Coral Bay. Coral Bay.
Coral Bay.
That was a long way on a scooter.
Okay, so we have a motion on the floor.
Motion
for a deferral. And we have a second. Moved and seconded to defer action on subdivision 2004-52 Holland Mills. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is subdivision 2004-53 Anthem.
Chairman, considering
do you want any comments on that?
No, but I do appreciate you
I'll be real brief on that one.
Okay, well, go ahead.
My brief statement is that I did not hear any testimony or presentation as to why there shouldn't be any sidewalks in that subdivision. I mean, we talked about Holland Mills and the houses already built and all that. But they never presented any information.
You want another public hearing?
No. I think that they didn't present a case to have sidewalks removed. So there was no basis presented as to why they shouldn't have the sidewalks. They're just still in the engineering design of it. You know, as they stated, they're trying to get enough done so that it can be considered substantially underway so it doesn't get sunset. So as far as I'm concerned, there was nothing putting it in the record concerning Anthem that there was a problem with putting in sidewalks. And I'll leave it at that.
Well, I interpreted it differently. I felt that what they testified to Holland about Holland applied to Anthem as well. That's why they asked to have them consolidated.
Did they ask or did we offer?
We offered and they accepted.
So they didn't ask.
Okay.
Just asking.
No, we asked them if they wanted it, and they said they did.
Okay.
2004-53 Anthem subdivision. My motion is for deferral at this time.
Second.
Moved and seconded to defer action on subdivision 2004-53 Anthem subdivision. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. All right, then. That completes our agenda for the evening.
Mr. Wheatley, there was a...
Where'd you find that?
It was in an old real estate file.
Yeah, that's funny.
There was a suggestion that we adopt the same policy on people that miss their public hearings as the council. Is that what we
Well, what we got to do, it's a rule amendment. That was my proposal. We need to put it back on a Planning and Zoning Commission amendment agenda just to vote on that amendment to our rules of procedure. So that would be my advice.
Okay with that?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then the second item is we've discussed the sidewalk as far as the commission has the ability to actually start an ordinance process.
We do.
I think if we're in a consensus, it seems like we're on a consensus, an issue needs to be addressed. And can't we direct Mr. Robertson to work with Ms. Cornwell to come up with some suggestions?
I think we already asked for that.
Well, and we've done that's where the problem lies. We've done that before with a planner that we hired kind of on a part-time basis. And I'll tell you, frankly, we got no consensus at all from the commission. I think we had five different opinions on it. It was whether it was in a developing area or not, whether it was in a state strategies area or not, whether it was a cluster or not, what number of lots, what type of roadways. So I think we're all willing to do that, but I'd almost rather have some direction again from the commission, because otherwise we're going to have five different opinions again on what we should do.
Instead of us saying that there's a threshold for a sidewalk, that it has to be done here, or or there. Why don't we just make sure that we that the design of the sidewalk is such that it can be done? Like, so you say curb and gutter works, right? So instead of saying where sidewalks must go so the public gets to choose if they want them or don't, because some people just don't want sidewalks because of maintenance and snow removal and all that stuff. Let us say that if the applicant proffers the sidewalks, right, and we put them in the conditions, then they have to meet this specification. And that specification gets designed by the county engineering department. So Mr. Cornwell said we have both responsibilities. And I just don't like the idea of forcing sidewalks on some people that may not. They just don't want them. We have people coming from cities that have had to deal with sidewalks, and they've shoveled and they've repaired and they've had assessments put on them to replace and that kind of thing, or if snow plows kick them, bust them up or whatever, and they just don't want sidewalks. Not that they don't like them, they just don't want the headaches that come with them. I personally like sidewalks. I live 10 miles from town and I have sidewalks at my house and my own farm. But I'm willing to maintain them and shovel them. I find it easier to shovel than to push the bobcat down the side of the house and tear up the grass. But so I don't know. That's my thought, is I don't like to force people to do something they may or may not want to do. But at the same time, I don't want this, this is too much.
So what are you suggesting, a workshop or something?
Well, we can do that again. But Mr. Ross said, that still invites the problem of if it's a proffer. You have a development where it's sold, and it's sold again, and the new developer.
If it's in the condition, it's in the condition.
But it's in the condition now, and we're getting people to come back.
The reality is the home buyers.
The problem we have here isn't the condition. The problem we have here is that we don't have a design that forces them to put it into their stormwater management. They can tell stormwater management, soil conservation, oh, we're going sidewalks, but we're going to put them over there, so we're going to go ahead and do swales. But if we require them that if they proffer sidewalks, they are going to be curb and gutter, that eliminates that.
There, you just tell them it's going to be curb and gutter, and then
they won't come in with any sidewalk proffered.
And then you don't have sidewalks, and you just have curb and gutter everywhere, and that maybe that's a solution.
Well, and then they can have a sidewalk or not have a sidewalk.
But the curb and gutter is there, so you eliminate the swales and all that. So maybe that's the solution. I don't know.
I'm
going to
play devil's advocate for a second, though. What happens, though, when the development sold, let's take this one out, because there wasn't a condition there. Right now we've got situations, lots of them, where there was a condition that said you got to put sidewalks on one side of the street. It's a condition. The developer, either the original one or three removed, come back and says, I know it's a condition. I don't want to do it for XYZ reason. What's the difference between that and we saying, if you put sidewalks in, you got to do curb and gutter, closed system, everything else. It's a condition. What's stopping a developer three removed from saying, I don't want to do it, please change this condition? I'm fine with that, but the commission, though, is going to have to be different than it is right now on sidewalks and take a stand and say, well, we're just not changing it.
Just going to say, if that's what's on your... Yeah, well, if we have an ordinance, then we're good.
But Mr. Ross is saying it's not an ordinance, it's just a condition.
What Bob is saying is different. He's not addressing sidewalks. He's just saying if we go to all curb and gutter, right, then the drainage system is the same for everybody.
Right.
Your curb and gutter.
Right.
Now, whether you add sidewalks adjacent to the curb and gutter or not would be up to a proffer or not. So, the person who comes back, the ordinance says you put in a subdivision, you know, that meets...
So your ordinance is not about sidewalks. It's about street design. It's got to be
curb
and gutter.
Then becomes the street design. Right. So engineering says, well, there's how the curb and gutter.
Like,
here's your choices.
Choice. So it's going to be curb and gutter. You can have sidewalks on one side or both if you want.
None.
On one side with a 20-foot street, or if you're not going to have sidewalks, it has to be a 24-foot street to give people room. But still curb and gutter. That way they give them room to walk in the street, because that's what people are going to do. It's what I do.
Once you put the curb and gutter in, you're going to eliminate the swales.
The sidewalks are so bad, you're going to trip and fall down.
You're going to drive
and it's not running anybody's cost up tremendously. Curb and gutter does cost, but not cost as much as a sidewalk. And I mean,
The closed system is clearly more expensive than open swale. I mean, there's no question you're going to get, your stormwater management system is going to be more expensive. But
we're kind of getting sort of
in the weeds here.
Yeah, I would say put it back on. I mean, that's a good suggestion, Mr. Ross had. I think what we ought to do is have county engineering come in.
Great idea.
You know, and yeah. say,
like, here's is, what it is.
Yeah, you know? And this is what we prefer you do, and here's what it is, and see if it works.
And I don't like that I want to create any more work for Ms. Cornwell, but maybe she could do some research for us in terms of, you know, the appropriateness and advantages or, you know, concerning sidewalks, so that we have something from the literature of substance on that.
Well, we did do that with Andrew Dolby, and I can share that with Ms. Cornwell. But again, there's not a lot of uniformity, and honestly, I will tell you, it seemed like, if I recall, that sidewalks were dictated more in urban areas, you know, or suburban.
I can imagine.
You know, that gets us. That's what led to the conversation about, well, maybe they aren't appropriate everywhere in the county, you know, which I think gets back to Mr. Ross's comment. You should be able to do it or not do it, depending on how you want to design it.
People should have the right to choose to whatever degree we possibly can, but at the same time, we can't keep running into these issues. So we've got to find a bridge to allow the people to choose what they want, but still not have this kind of a problem. And maybe this situation with saying, okay, make everybody do curb and gutter, you know, on subdivision, well, then fine. At least it is more expensive, but it's not...
Yeah, it's not the homeowners that are going to choose. It's developers that are going to choose. But what we have to find a way is to whatever they choose is what they're what they have to do.
Yeah.
They don't get to come back and say, well, gee, this didn't work out. And that
but
didn't
here's
work
where
out.
The homeowners do get to choose, and that is there's development
that
has sidewalks and all this, and the development
doesn't.
Doesn't.
Of course.
And if someone has an aversion to sidewalks, they'll have that choice.
Sure.
They'll say, I don't want a shovel. I don't want an assessment for maintenance and all that.
Right.
I won't have to worry about trees upheaving and all that stuff. So they'll have a choice when they buy whatever development they buy in.
Absolutely.
I don't want to eliminate that choice by mandate. But at the same time, I'm telling you, this stuff is ridiculous.
Well, it's all about the drainage. It's really not about the sidewalks. It's about
the drainage. If everybody has to do the same drainage, well, then
I
guess...
I keep hearing them say, it's all,
be
you know,
what it'll be.
Can't do the sidewalks because of the stormwater management system and so on and so forth.
And I'd be interested in what Janelle has to say about just sidewalks from a planning point of view, taking out the whole ordinance of it, because I'm just thinking about so many of the subdivisions that I'm familiar with, particularly the higher-end ones, nobody wants sidewalks. They prefer the more rural sort of country setting with the blacktop, you know, and the landscaping. I mean, you think about just the ones on Eastern Sussex County, like
well,
Kings
I think
Creek
we need a sidewalk workshop.
But that would be helpful to have Janelle talk about that at
have
the
Janelle
workshop.
Janelle can come
from planning.
Probably have a little bigger cul-de-sac where the basketball hoops can have a more full-size court, you know, that kind of thing.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, they're not allowed in Newcastle County. They're probably not allowed in most of the restrictive covenants in the subdivisions we have around here, too.
No, but they can play bocce in the street. That's okay.
Yeah. Even though Mr. Chairman, for the pleasure of the commission, I will not be here at the next meeting.
Really? Well, we may have to postpone.
I mean, we might not be able to vote on those two projects we just
That's
did.
Right. You won't be here to vote. You won't be here to vote.
I think my position was made pretty clear tonight, but...
Okay. Want to do an absentee ballot?
Yeah, right.
Give your proxy.
Can I do it by phone?
Give your proxy.
I really feel this.
There's not a deadline because it doesn't have to go to council.
Well, just so you all know, it'd probably be a quicker meeting.
All right. Is there
not as humorous.
Is there anything else for the good of the order? Anything else for the good of the order? Being none, stand adjourned. Peace and harmony prevailing.
10 minutes after. Can't even see it.
Jeez. Oh, you guys are killing me.
Is your eye, are your eyes crossed yet?
Can't see it.